there. Welcome to the Spa Doctor podcast. I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. As anti-aging medicine continues to increase in popularity, there are more and more options available to us. And I know it can be overwhelming and quite expensive. So on today's podcast, I want to share with you something that might be a great alternative to look at. My guest today is sharing about regenerative injection therapies. These include prolotherapy, PRP, and stem cell injections. These can help with both pain management as well as skin issues like scarring and also signs of aging, wrinkles, sagging skin. So my guest that I've asked to come on today to talk about this is Dr. Tina Moore. She's the medical director of Core Wellness Clinic in Portland, Oregon, and specializes in the application of natural pain solutions and regenerative injection therapies. She is licensed as both a naturopathic and chiropractic physician. Dr. Moore teaches regenerative medicine around the world and educates physicians as well as the general public. On today's podcast, we discuss PRP, prolotherapy, stem cell injections, what these are, how they're applied, what to look for when you're looking for practitioners, so that they can help you with both pain management options as well as aesthetics. So I hope you enjoy this interview. Dr. Tina, it's so great to have you on my podcast.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited.
Great, great. Well, since I think a lot of my audience probably doesn't know you, so let's start off with your background and how you got into doing what you do.
Sure. So my practice is in Portland, Oregon, and it's 100% regenerative injection therapies. I'm a naturopathic physician like yourself, and we share some common colleagues. And I'm also a chiropractor. So my journey really is gotten me into mainly orthopedics and regenerative injection therapies. Your audience may know some. It's really just the idea that we're using natural substances, most notably the patient's own cells, their blood and their stem cells, to regenerate and rejuvenate their tissues. And so while that works for the joints, it also works for the skin, it works for the genitals, it works for the hairline, it works for pretty much anywhere we want to put these cells and these solutions.
That's fantastic. So, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've had a few other guests on, Dr. Amy Killen and Dr. Hare Adelson, and they've talked some about this, but I also wanted you to come and talk because I think the more people know about this, the better. And I just love that it comes from your own body. I mean, this is, especially if you've been living a healthy life and you're doing all these other things and you just want to age gracefully, whether it's with your joints or your skin, and you want to do everything you can, but you don't want to do these invasive procedures that are costly, that are also that are just, you know, from synthetics, you know, and, you know, Botox and fillers and those sorts of things, that there are other alternatives to that. And then also, you know, you do both, right? You do pain management and you do also do aesthetics. And I think there's such a great part of anti-aging medicine, if that's what we want to call it, or graceful aging medicine.
I like that.
Right. Is incorporating both of that. So I'm really excited to dive into this today.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on to talk about it because it is such a underknown treatment. Most people don't realize that these treatments are available to them and that they're pretty easy to access. And then they go in for, you know, there's this huge, my true heart is around orthopedics and pain. There's conservative care, which as a chiropractor I'm trained in, which is, you know, manipulation. There's all sorts of manual techniques that people employ. And then past that, there's surgery. And sometimes if a patient's lucky, they'll get to do PT or they'll get some kind of intervention in the middle, but usually there's this huge gap and this huge divide, and patients either end up doing nothing and living with chronic pain, or they end up having surgery and potentially also living with chronic pain. So it's exciting to know there's other alternatives out there. And really, I hate to call them alternatives because they should be standard of care at this point, in my opinion. They would save on costs, they would save on recovery, and it's a big deal.
Okay, great. So let's talk about regenerative injection therapies. What are they and how do you do this in office?
So regenerative injection therapies really the premise starts with prolotherapy. Prolotherapy is sometimes known as dextrose prolotherapy, where we are injecting a sugar water solution, a natural sugar water solution into ligaments, tendons, and joints that have been damaged or obscured. Ligaments stretch out, tendons pull and stretch and sprain. The idea is that the body wakes up and brings in a controlled inflammatory cascade and heals the area up. The technique is that we treat all of the involved structures. And so it's not just shooting some juice in the joint, as I like to say. A lot of docs will say, oh, just put it inside the joint, you'll be fine. But the whole, think about the rotator cuff. The whole rotator cuff's involved, and the whole rotator cuff needs to be treated, and whatever areas are compromised or injured or painful. That grows up into something called platelet-rich plasma, where we take the patient's own blood, we draw it from the arm. It's a simple in-office blood draw. We spin it out and process it in a minimal way that concentrates out the platelets so that they're viable and usable for action. And they've got 20 some known growth factors in there. Some of them regenerate the skin. Some of them regenerate the vasculature. Some of them, you know, they all do their own thing. And we concentrate that down and inject it into the injured and compromised tissues. Super simple. And then that grows up into stem cells, where we can actually pull the patient's fat or bone marrow out of their own body, minimally process that, and inject that back in. And so that's Harry Adelson's my mentor, and he taught me how to do that process. That's really his gig. You know, that's, he really is the stem cell master. I really am in love with PRP and prolotherapy, and I try to stay in that realm. It's a comfortable practice. It's at a pace that I like, and I pre-screen my patients pretty well so that they're usually very healthy. I think the take home is that these cells are only as good as the patient's health. Much like the skin, right? We've talked, you and I have talked about that in the past, you know, your skin, and I know that's your battle cry. Your skin is only as healthy as your inside is. And it's the same with your cells that we're going to be concentrating down and using.
So who is a good candidate for this? How would someone know if this would be a good option for them?
A good candidate is generally somebody who has a pretty good hormonal milieu, somebody who's guts in good shape. Generally, I ask every patient this: how good of a healer are you? Do you heal well when you get cut or when your tissues get damaged? Do you heal up well? If the answer is no, then I generally think that they're not a good candidate. So anyone who's really in that healing mode, some people are naturally blessed with that. Others of us have autoimmune disease and are a little more compromised, but I can still work with that as long as the patient's employing a good, healthy, nutritious diet, getting good sleep, getting good exercise. All of those things lead to your stem cells' ability to ignite.
And, you know, it is amazing how quickly our body is able to regenerate, to recuperate, and to replenish itself so that we can be able to do things like this. So maybe if someone's not ready right now, maybe in a month or a few months, you get to a place where you could be. And so let's talk about PRP for facial rejuvenation. So for people who may have heard this, it's PRP facials. They're also called vampire facials. Like, are there other names? Because I want to make sure people are like, we're all talking the same language here.
Pretty much. I've heard vampire facial. I've heard PRP facial. There's different ways to do it. Do you want me to talk a little bit about the differences?
That would be great.
So I think what a lot of people get into when they get into some sort of PRP facial rejuvenation treatment is a microneedling technique, which is awesome, right? Microneedling is prolotherapy. Prolotherapy is the idea that we're disrupting collagen and it is in turn regenerating. So microneedling, flossing your teeth, it's all pretty much a form of prolotherapy. So they paint on the PRP and then they microneedle it in, and then they paint on more PRP and they microneedle that on, and you paint it on and you leave it. So that's one way.
Okay, so wait, stop for a second. What does it mean to paint it on? Can you?
You can dribble. It either gets dribbled on out of a syringe, so there's no injection. It's just sort of laid on the skin. It's a liquid, so that it gets laid on the skin.
And that comes from what you've spun down, right? What you had just described. Okay, great.
Correct. So we would draw their blood. We would process their PRP to a concentration that we want, and then we would paint that on and dermal roller that in or microneedle that in. And there's pens that do this, there's rollers, there's all kinds of different devices. But the idea is you're getting millions and millions of tiny little pinpricks that are depositing the solution and also causing that regenerative effect of the needle. The needle itself counts quite a bit. The other technique that I employ in my office that I love so much more is actually injecting it. So the face likes to bruise, and so technique counts here. You know, when someone's got a needle in their hand coming at your face, you want to make sure they know what they're doing. But I usually use a blunt-ended cannula, which is a little gizmo that doesn't have a sharp end, and I introduce that, and I thread it around, and I deposit the PRP at different depths in the face. And just as you would filler, the area's here, the area's here, all of the little areas we pick out on our face and, you know, as we age that we don't like, you can inject those and the collagen underneath will regenerate. And then you can microneedle on top. So it's a stronger option It's a stronger, more potent option. But it's very quick and pretty painless, actually. People don't seem to mind it so much.
Okay, great. And let's talk about the results on this, because I know part of it's done for anti-aging, but I've also heard it's good for acne scars.
Mm-hmm. It's really good for acne scars, and I'm so thankful for that. So that's where you want to use the microneedling to really kind of punch into the tissue, almost like a stamp, to really create that collagen disruption of that scar. And then we just inject underneath it and around it, and it works so well. I've got before and afters that I've done on patients and colleagues, and the results are just like, wow, why are we even dealing with divots in our face? And I can treat those scars all over the body, which I do. I'll treat scars in areas all over the body just to get the tissues to regenerate. Anything that needs regeneration, I filled in divots where they've had huge chunks of tissue taken out. I filled in divots where people had a womp to the skin, like maybe they womped their thigh on a bicycle accident and ended up with sort of a disruption in the muscle and the tissue, and that scarred down. I can go in and actually mechanically free that up and deposit the PRP there, and it regenerates out. So it takes time. It's not instant. It's not like getting Botox or filler, which is fairly instantaneous. I know Botox takes a few weeks to kick in. PRP takes a while, and it's often done in sequence. So every doctor is different, but I like to have patients come back at the 4 to 6 week mark and repeat the whole process over again. There can be some bruising, which is not always ideal. The kind of PRP a doctor uses counts. If there's a lot of red blood cells in the PRP, it's going to look like they're injecting bruises underneath your face. We make a PRP that doesn't have any of those in it, so we're clear on that one. But yeah, it takes some time. You know, I ask patients to think about this. If you cut the tip of your fingertip off, how long would that take to regenerate? It's months, right? It takes months for these deep grooves and crevices and wrinkles to make their way out into a fresher looking face. But what the patient's left with is a fresher looking, younger looking face. We're not doing anything drastic like you see with filler. We're not recontouring the face. We're simply just taking some years off, taking some of that tired look away.
Yeah, and it's such a natural look. You don't have this frozen look. You don't look like you've had something done. And there's not a, big recovery time or anything, maybe like a day or two. Or if you end up with a little bit of bruising, that can take a few days to clear up. But I just want to emphasize that this is such a great thing for, I know so many people that suffer with acne scarring, and they think that they don't have anything that they can do naturally, or that there are any holistic or more natural options for them. And this is a really great thing to do. And then you mentioned that it's also good for other types of scars, which I think is, it sounds like it's like, or, if you have a maybe something on your face and it's been bugging you, can you actually help people's scars heal if they've had maybe like, I don't know, like a dog bite or, an old chicken pock mark or different things like that.
So when the same thing happens in your joints, when collagen gets disrupted or damaged, it tends to adhere itself down. And so I think of a scar as sort of a knotwork of collagen that's been laid down to optimize its integrity so that it doesn't pull apart. But also you're left with some unsightly looking scars often, especially if you keloid. And so I can go in and act, the needle itself counts, the technique counts. So we disrupt that abnormal collagen cross-linking. That's the premise of prolotherapy. And then whatever solution we deposit, we can put stem cells there, we can put PRP. But those things, the body responds by calling in the troops, coming in and remodeling that collagen. And so it just looks softer and better and nicer, even after one treatment, if the technician holding that needle is skilled. I do a pretty good job up front. I usually inject the heck out of it. And then the second and third treatment, I've seen things virtually go away. I've also seen, and I'm not promising this, with the introduction of the PRP because of the growth factors, I've even seen discoloration resolve. So, and that's not everybody, and some people do form keloid scars, and that's a little more dicey, but I've seen just, some of these unsightly pink and raised and elevated and tangled up looking scars, and I've seen them, they smooth out, they flatten out. The sensation returns to the area, which I think is so important. People don't realize that with that knotted up network of collagen, you've got knotted up nerves in there, entangled in there. So it might be hyper painful, or it might be numb to the touch, or it might be both at the same time. And that's really uncomfortable for people. If that's happening around a joint, that actually is contributing to the underlying joint pain and disruption in the joint. And so it's important to treat the scars and the joint at the same time, or, what have you. So,
okay, great.
That's great.
So now, and we talked about the face. What about, so let's talk about elsewhere on the body. I mean, obviously, you know, scars on other areas of the body, you could do that. Mm-hmm. And then with pain management and muscle joint, tell everybody how that's different.
So it's a similar idea. We're regenerating the tissues. So cartilage wears out, right? People get, for various reasons, I think a lot of it's systemic and nutrition, to be honest. I don't think it's so much wear and tear. I think it starts early in life, as I'm sure you agree, just being in that naturopathic mindset. And then people are walking around chronically dehydrated, so their cartilage starts to wear out, and that's a big issue. So we can actually regenerate cartilage with these treatments. Even with prolotherapy, we have good studies showing cartilage regeneration. And then the ligaments and tendons, much like a rubber band that's been put on stretch, if it stays on stretch for too long, or if it's too quick of a stretch, that will not go back, right? If you've got an overstretched rubber band, it doesn't want to bring back its integrity. And we can reestablish that with these injection therapies. Just the act of needling can start that process. So even acupuncturists can do this, but we can do a much more robust version with the stronger solutions in our syringe. And so we get the tendons and ligaments back on in action, back in a more, it's not scarring, it's not scar therapy like it used to be thought of. We're actually just giving them their integrity back, which allows the joint to move better. It allows the muscles around it to move better. If you have joint disruption inside a joint, sadly, the muscles around it will start to move really aberrantly and fire aberrantly. So PT, while very valuable and I think critical in the rehab process, at certain times might not be as effective because the person's joint isn't even firing correctly. All the gluteal muscles or all the rotator cuff muscles are not even doing their thing because there's so much disruption and pain inside. So if we can start to regenerate those tissues, those labrums, that cartilage, the meniscus, get them healing, get the outside of the joint healing up, then when a person goes to see a PT or do some kind of rehab, it's so much more effective, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a great tool to be able to help with people. And, you know, and with the pain management, it's also the case where in the initial treatment is going to help some, but you want to keep coming back, right?
Yes. Yes. It's not a one-shot wonder. I put that all over my website and my paperwork because patients get really excited and I want them to be excited because that's part of the healing process, but it definitely is a series of injections. And so I find optimally with PRP, 3 rounds. With stem cells, it can be less, you know, again, it really depends on the technician and their skill set. And then the patient's own cells, my cells from day to day change. I've gone to conferences and gotten PRP before and I've had, you know, I've been eating gluten and maybe had a whiskey or two the night before. And that's a really painful PRP process the next day because my blood's really inflamed. So it really shifts from day to day. So I'll send patients home. Even if they're a great candidate, I'll send them home and say, I really want you to dial this in this week. So get off the sugar, anything that would actually give someone acne, right? So get off the alcohol, get off the sugar, all of those things that are going to cause inflammation. And then we'll inject you. You'll have a better outcome. It'll be a more comfortable process.
Yeah, that's a really good tip for people. Maybe, you know, to think about what you can do to clean up your diet and be really, really clean. Mm-hmm. What, a week? You think a week before?
Well, you know, for someone like you and I, we probably eat fairly well. And so a week would probably do it. But for some people, it's 2 weeks. For some people, I say, I absolutely am not going to treat you now. Go see my naturopath friend or my functional medicine friend. They're going to get you dialed in. They'll send you back in about 90 days when you're optimized. But if I take patients come in, particularly women in sort of our age category, I'm guessing your age, but somewhere between the early 40s to mid 60s, little bit of Russian roulette with these treatments because those women tend to be sort of chronically inflamed due to hormonal shifts, et cetera. And if I tell them frankly, I'm no BS in the office. I'm pretty much no BS anywhere, but I'll tell them, if I take your hot mess of inflamed blood and I concentrate it down and I put it into that hot mess of an inflamed shoulder, we're going to have an issue on our hands and we're going to have weeks and weeks of pain versus it should be 1 to 2 days of pain, not weeks. And I've had that own experience for myself because I'm kind of that autoimmune girl. So yeah, it really depends on the person, kind of where they're at. But I think that there is an option out there for virtually anyone. And it's just a matter, I just don't think it's ethical to be dropping thousands. These are not covered by insurance, these treatments, and dropping thousands of dollars on a procedure when your overall health is poor. I don't think that's a great idea.
So let's talk about the pricing on these, because that is, you know, they're not cheap, but there are also a lot more expensive ways to go with pain management as well as
Yes.
aesthetics. So what does it cost for these procedures?
Generally, for a PRP procedure in my clinic, it's anywhere between $900 to $1,300. I do things a little differently than a lot of doctors. I actually want you to come in as hydrated as possible because I can harvest a lot of PRP with my technique, and I will treat as many joints as I can for that cost. So it's really actually pretty big money saver. Other clinics will price you out per joint. It's so across the board. There are clinics charging three times as much for what I'm doing as what I'm doing. There are people charging virtually nothing. So it really varies. Again, though, how they process their PRP completely across the board, who the technician is and what they're training completely across the board. I feel like I'm offering a very fair rate for that. They're getting a great PRP process and a great needler. I'm good with a needle. If there's anything I can do in life, I'm good at sticking a needle in people.
Great.
But you know, and then for stem cells, it's in the thousands. And again, that varies depending on how they process the stem cells, where they're putting it, how they're delivering it. So it can really, but there are a lot of clinics, I have to say, there are a lot of clinics out there doing pretty shoddy work. They're jumping on the regenerative bandwagon because it's like, oh, you know, yeah, we'll learn in the weekend, over a weekend course, how to do PRP and stem cells. And I just think that that's ridiculous. You know, if you're going to go get stem cells done, my vote is to go see Harry Adelson, who that's his life's commitment. That's what he's been doing forever. I've been doing PRP for a long, long, long time. And going to somebody who has that experience and can say, yeah, I think clinically your outcomes are going to be X, Y, and Z versus someone who'll just take anyone. That's the delineation there.
So let's talk about things that people should look for, ask for, when they're looking for these kinds of procedures. So you kind of like you said a little, a few of them, but what would you say are some of the top things if somebody is picking up the phone, they're going online, they're looking for somebody to do this, what are the absolute musts that people need to look for?
If they're looking for orthopedics, I would say find someone who's trained traditionally in prolotherapy, first of all. I think that's really important. How they deliver the solution is important. How they inject you is really important. So finding a good prolotherapist, finding somebody who isn't just accepting everybody. And I don't really know how you would ask those questions. It's pretty clear on my website that we are some, you know, we're somewhat, we do somewhat of a screening process. Because you really have to be ready for the procedure. So if they're like, oh, yeah, of course we'll treat you if you're 400 pounds. And I mean, I don't think that's the right way to go. I think getting somebody, do they have other options in place or do they know who to refer you to that can help you get optimized? I guess optimization is a good word. I actually have a really good, I got so, I became sort of this like clearinghouse for all the phone calls of the world for PRP. And I got so overwhelmed that I created a PRP 101 school on my website. And so if you log in, you can just find it and I'll send you a PDF with, it's about 5 pages long and it's literally every question I have ever been asked multiple times in the past 10 years of practice. And I created it for practitioners so that they would have a better understanding of what they needed to be delivering and care. And I created it for patients so that they could go in armed and say, hey, what is my diet? If you ask your practitioner, like, does my diet have to do with anything of this? Does, what about my health overall? And they say, oh, no, you'll do great. I'd get out of there. So I created it so patients could arm themselves with some knowledge. And then there's a whole bunch of materials in there. There's videos and audio. And I just basically dumped as much of my PRP content into one place that people could find. So anyone can access it. I'm trying to just clear things up for people because there's just so much misinformation out there. So that probably is a better, a faster route to go.
Okay, great. So we'll have the link to that. But is there an easy
Okay.
access link? I can just share that on the website, right?
Yeah, drtina.com, and then scroll down and it says PRP 101 school. You can't miss it. And they can just opt in right there and they'll get it delivered to them.
Okay, so you can go
It's a
directly
good, it's a
there,
good stuff.
or if you're driving right now and you're listening to this, just go to the Spot Doctor later and you can get that link off of below the podcast interview. So we'll have it there. I think, if you can just talk for a bit of it, just so people understand the difference in options, like standard of care for pain, like arthritis, how does that differ from the kind of thing that you do?
So the standard of care, usually how it goes for a patient before they end up in my office sort of at the end, right? So the standard of care is they may or may not get imaging. And I'll tell you flat out, imaging does not show soft tissue issues. It shows bone most of the time. X-rays only show bone. So people get hurt and they say, I need an X-ray. And it's like, no, actually, unless we think you have a fracture, you don't need an X-ray. Then they want an MRI. MRIs are very expensive. MRIs show gross tissue, soft tissue deformities like herniated discs or nerve impingement or bony changes around a nerve. They're not going to show little, unless it's a big, a larger, unless they're looking for it, a good radiologist will look for it. But unless they're looking for it, they're not going to find these sprains and strains of the ligaments and tendons, which is what's causing most of people's pain. So then they are sent to a specialist who will tell them whether they're a surgical candidate or not. And if I got to be honest, it depends on age group. From what I've seen, I've been in practice long enough that different age groups get handled differently. And it's a bit infuriating, to be honest, but that's another subject. Often they'll be told whether they're a surgical candidate. If they're young and they are going to have good clinical outcomes, they might be suggested to have surgery. If they're older, it depends on the surgeon. There's a lot of good orthopods out there that are very ethical, but there are some that are not. Usually there's a cortisone injection. Somewhere in there, there's a cortisone injection. And what cortisone does is it decreases inflammation by being catabolic. It chews up your tissues. But that causes a pain relief for the patient. And sometimes cortisone is appropriate in low doses, not super high doses. But it also is catabolic. It disintegrates your tissues. And if I turn just right in the camera, you can see I have a divot right here. I had a tiny, tiny drop of cortisone that was hyper diluted, injected into a blemish here, and it melted down my face over the course of 2 months. And they take maybe 40 times that dose and put it inside your joint. So that's standard of care. That's what happens. And over time, we've now seen, even in the last year alone, we're seeing across the board studies coming out saying cortisone is a terrible idea. Doesn't work. In fact, it's disintegrating your tissues. It's making a bad situation worse. We're treating ligament laxity. We're treating loose ligaments, and then they're putting something in it that makes it even more compromised. If you're lucky and you fight for it, you'll get physical therapy referral. And some docs are great and say physical therapy first, and I love those docs, but there are a lot of docs that won't. And so you kind of have to fight for the PT. Again, though, if you've got joint disruption, sometimes that PT isn't as effective as it could be because there's so much underlying pain, kind of a mixed bag. And then maybe you're a surgical candidate. That's it. That's the hammer and the nails. You get nothing, you get cortisone, or you get surgery. And then right in the beginning, what's the first thing everyone's told to do when they hurt themselves? They're told to ice it and take NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, which completely cuts off the healing cascade. And when you cut off the healing cascade initially, none of the other portions of the healing cascade go to fruition. You don't ever end up with normal collagen deposition. You basically just shot yourself in the foot. So that's standard of care, which to me is just completely backwards and barbaric. And the treatments that we're offering here are affordable. I mean, I realize thousands of dollars sounds expensive, but surgery, when you look at your deductible, you look at time away from work, you look at quality of life, you look at recovery, you look at all the PT and rehab it's going to take to recover, for something that maybe, just maybe, injection or two of PRP might obliterate 80 or 90% of your pain. You can go back to rehabilitating or go back to strength training and actually get your joints healthy and strong again. I mean, it's a different way of looking at things, but it's really almost criminal the way that people, especially the older generation on Medicare, there's a whole fraudulent billing thing that goes on there, or just I shouldn't say fraudulent, they can kind of milk that system. And the elderly of our generation or of our population are really getting hosed in a lot of situations, a lot of cortisone injections into the spine, a lot of surgeries. And there's an old adage in orthopedics, surgery begets more surgery. So it's a process. And I'm, of course, just seeing the end result. And so where patients are coming from on my end, I'm thinking, man, if I just had a shot at you, literally a shot at you years ago, none of this would have happened. You know, I mean, to see people in walking boots because they had a full on surgery when they could have maybe gotten a stem cell procedure for a couple thousand dollars. It's like, so that's the big deal. And it goes much deeper. I have blog posts about it. Obviously, I feel really passionate about it, but it hurts my heart to see people get carved on and cut on when maybe just a really non-invasive injection of their own cells could have profound results on their overall wellness.
Mm-hmm. Great. And so just real quickly for people who aren't really clear on the difference between PRP and stem cells, if you could just touch on that. And of course, people can go see, watch Dr. Harry Adelson's podcast interview on the Spot Doctor podcast. But just so people are trying to decide which is best for them and they're kind of confused, can what would be a good way to decide which is the best direction?
Well, I think if they're, I love PRP, and if I've got a healthy individual in front of me, I don't care what age they are, I always start with PRP. If the condition warrants it, though, if they're in really, really bad shape, I will suggest stem cells. I liken it to coffee, tea, and espresso. We've got prolotherapy, PRP, and stem cells. So PRP is your blood, it's your growth factors, it's the fertilizer. I'm sorry. It's seed and feed. So I think of the stem cells as the seeds, and then, yeah, PRP is the fertilizer and makes it grow. PRP helps your stem cells that are already lingering naturally in your joints. It tells them how to differentiate and what to do. It tells them to ignite. Its growth factors shot right in a concentrated form. So if you've got a healthy milieu, you've got a pretty healthy knee, but it just hurts and it's kind of torn up, PRP is a really great option. If you have a really degenerated joint, you're trying to avoid surgery or a replacement, or you've got something that isn't responding to PRP, then I think stem cells are a really wonderful treatment. And we'll often mix the two together. So stem cells are mesenchymal stem cells. They'll differentiate. They're cells that'll basically turn into whatever you put them near. They'll, in the most kindergarten way, that's what they do. You drop them into an area and they'll differentiate or turn into the cells that they're supposed to in that area, especially if they have the signal from the PRP. PRP kind of tells them what to do and where to go. The two together are a really potent combo. And so that's just a more Cadillac treatment. It's a faster option. I personally have had two PRPs in my hip recently. It's not kicking it. So I'm going to go see Dr. Adelson and get the stem cells. Really depends on what you want. If you're a high-level athlete and you need to get back to the game right away, stem cells might be a better option. If you're really on a tight budget and you just really want to turn the pain down and kind of go about it yourself, PRP might be a better option. But it depends on the patient and the condition.
And then for aesthetic reasons, what about stem cells for aesthetics?
So I have trained in it, but I haven't performed a lot of it. The fat can get gloppy and it's hard to work with. It's kind of a weird substance once you get it all set up. And so I haven't done a ton of the stem cells in the face, but it acts more like a fat filler. So it acts more as you would a hyaluronic acid filler, the traditional fillers that you see in aesthetic clinics. So you can actually fill out the contours in real time with the fat. And it will eventually smooth out and turn into the tissues. It will regenerate the tissues below and it'll smooth those crevices and those wrinkles out. And then again, the PRP acts as a growth factor kick. It's kind of a catalyst, if you will, to get things rolling in the right direction. And so again, just different tiers for different budgets or different outcomes or different desires that people have.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much for the information today. Share your website one more time, and we'll also have that up on my website.
Sure, it's www.drtina, that's DRTYNA, .com. And then if you want information on the PRP, just to arm yourself with knowledge, there's the PRP 101 school there.
Great. All right. Thank you, Dr. Tina. Thank you so much for your interview today. Really appreciate your information.
Yes, thanks so much for having me, Trevor.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Tina Moore and got some great information. I have had the PRP facial done one time with, not with Dr. Tina, but with a different practitioner, and did find it to be a great experience to, as far as getting more plumpness to the skin, fine lines, kind of diminishing those. So I've only had one treatment. I should probably go back and have more, but that's all I've done. I haven't done the stem cells yet, but it does seem like a great option for us. Whether you're looking for pain management or for aesthetic reasons, I think it's a great part of anti-aging medicine. The key is to find the right practitioner. Do some research, find out what that they make sure that they have the right training, the right equipment, the right kind of experience that you're looking for, and the scope of practice licensure that allows them to do that in the state that you're in. So if you want to learn more about Dr. Tina, you can go to thespotdoctor.com, go to the podcast page with her interview, and you'll find all the information and links there. And while you're there, I invite you to join the Spot Doctor community. So you can check out our other podcasts and blogs and information. You can also get the iTunes podcast. You can go to, you can subscribe to it there. We do both video and audio. And if you haven't done so already, I highly recommend you get your own customized skin profile at theskinquiz.com. It's free, only takes a few minutes. Find out what your skin's telling about your health and your unique skin type, what recommendations that I have for you there. So theskinquiz.com. Also join me on social media, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and join the conversation. And I'll see you next time on the Spa Doctor Podcast.